Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It was a rivalry that ended in disaster. On July 28, 1929, on the bustling Lake Okoboji, the heralded speedboat Miss Thriller crashed into the slower vessel Zipper. 9 people were killed. You can explore the story in a new book called The Death Boat. Author Lloyd Cunningham spent 4 decades as an Argus Leader photojournalist. He now spends his summers on Okoboji. He's in Sioux Falls at Zambros Variety for a book signing on Saturday. I caught up with him this morning to talk about the tragic accident that devastated lives and changed boating in Iowa forever. Tell us a little bit about how you kind of stumbled on to this story. You went looking for a diver and you found so much more.
Well, I did. Many people may not know that I've been a scuba diver for years and taken a lot of underwater photographs in West Lake Okoboji. And I was assembling those into a book that I thought would be interesting. And it seemed to me I should know who was the first diver in the lake. So I went to the Maritime Museum here at Okoboji because I knew that they had a scuba display with a lot of recovered artifacts. There wasn't much history with that scuba display. But across the museum, I saw a mannequin in a hard hat diver's suit. So I went over to read the display there and discovered that in 1929, there was a boating accident that two boats collided in the dark. One of them sank, 9 people died, and that a year later, a hard hat diver was brought to West Lake Okoboji to recover the boat in order to salvage the airplane engines. The news story said that this diver was from Duluth, Minnesota. So I called the Maritime Museum in Duluth and asked if they'd ever heard of a Captain Thompson. And they had, and they put me in touch with his granddaughter. And his granddaughter was a delightful call. She shared family stories and pictures and the news articles about his dive in West Lake Okoboji that had gripping details in it. Well, once I had those details, I had to know all there was to know about this boat, where it was built, what made it so fast. It was advertised widely in the country as the fastest passenger boat in the country. Some newspapers even said it was the fastest passenger boat in the world. So anyway, you have now the idea that I just followed where that story led. And that resulted in this book.
And did you know all the places that it was going to lead? And what I want to start with here is just some of the challenges as you did much of that research with simple things like finding people's full names and finding the correct names. This was not an easy trail to follow.
No, I had no idea how difficult it would be and how much research it would take. I have said that if I'd have known that to begin with, I would never have tackled this. But, you know, that's really not true. Unfolding the details here became a passion. You mentioned the names. The first thing I recognized was in the many newspapers that I read, the names of the passengers varied from paper to paper. So that required me to go to their birth records and their death records to find out who these people really were. In one case, the youngest victim of the accident, his name was spelled Neal, N-E-A-L, on his birth certificate, and it was spelled N-I-E-L on his death certificate. So I had to check them all. The other thing that was very interesting, or not interesting, but was difficult to work my way through was in the 1920s, men identified themselves by their initials rather than their names. So names like W.K. Welty, I needed to know what his first name was. And women were only identified by their husband's names. So it took a cadre of people who helped me, contacts I made, to uncover these names so that I'd know who was who and how I could put them or how they were going to fit into the story.
Tell me a little bit about Okoboji at this time. This is the 1920s. What's happening? What's sort of the culture like around the lake?
Yes, that's very interesting, I think. It was a thriving resort community in the late 20s. Actually, its origins were back, some say, as early as 1897. But nonetheless, by the time, through the Roaring 20s, Okoboji had the largest dance floor in the state and claimed for a while to have the second largest dance floor in the country. Okoboji had two amusement parks, and they had the largest roller coaster and the skating rink in the state. The amusement parks had shooting galleries and games of chance and swing rides and carousels. So it was a thriving place. In addition to that, there were still three steamships on the lake that would carry passengers around West Lake Okoboji to the various resorts and fishing spots and dance halls that were around the lake. There were four major dance halls, not at Arnold's Park, but around Okoboji. And in order to get there, because the roads were so difficult, you took ferries, you took steamboats from Arnold's Park.
So not a lot of privately owned boats, though. So tell us a little bit about why a really fast boat becomes an attraction and a rivalry.
Miss Thriller, and that's the name of the primary boat in the story, was a sea sled. She had a very unique hull. It had a tunnel under the hull that scooped in water, spray, and air so that she rose to the surface of the lake and skimmed across the top. She was the invention of a Canadian boat builder, first noticed in 1913 at the International Boat Show. And the boat's design made it so extremely fast that the Navy and later the Army made the sea sled, the style of this boat, their exclusive high-speed launch for the duration of World War I. After the war, the builder, Albert Hickman, began making pleasure boats and racing boats and a few, perhaps a handful, of sea sleds that were passenger boats. And of those, Miss Thriller was the most famous. She was about 28 feet long. She had a pair of aircraft engines, and she was reported to be able to race across the water at 72 miles an hour. She was initially launched at Alexandria Bay, New York, and she was bought by a local Arnold's Park businessman, Charles Parker, and brought to Westlake Okoboji in 1925. Well, of course, Okoboji already had its own passenger boat operations, and this new and very popular and very fast boat began to cause, was so appealing that it cost the other boat company, the Eagle Boat Line, a significant amount of business. And from that, a rivalry began between between the two companies, a rivalry that the state boat inspector wrote to the governor about. He felt that the risk-taking and the showmanship was endangering passengers as these two boats competed for passengers and interrupted one another's business.
And tell me about the accident, because there's all kinds of things that will change from a safety standpoint after this accident. In fact, this is one of the reasons why many of those regulations shifted. But tell us a little bit what happened that night. Set it up for us.
Okay. Well, this was July 28, 1929, and it was just after dark when Miss Thriller left shore in her typical counterclockwise tour around West Lake Okoboji. That would be past Fort Dodge Point, out towards the inn, across the center of the lake to Manhattan Beach. And then her pilot, Frank Long, made his last long turn of 180 degrees that directed the launch back towards Arnold's Park. As he made that turn, the other boat involved in the accident, Zipper, piloted by Harold Yarns, was turning his boat away from the amusement park towards the center of the lake, going to make a very similar counterclockwise loop, but it would have been much shorter because his boat was much, much slower. So the boats were going to pass one another, one coming in and one going out. The passengers and pilot of Zipper saw Miss Thriller coming. Miss Thriller had a unique pair of twin headlights on the front. They were sometimes described as bug-eyed headlights. So pilot Harold Yarns knew what boat was coming at him, and he leaned his boat a little to the right to separate the distance. It was the custom of pilots on West Lake Okoboji to pass to the right of oncoming boats. But Miss Thriller, which was much faster, kept shortening the distance between the two boats, and Harold Yarns leaned his boat yet again to the right, trying to separate the boats. But Miss Thriller kept pressing hard. The swivel headlight was within reach of pilot Yarns, and he grabbed that headlight when the boats were about 250 yards apart and waved it horizontally in the direction of Miss Thriller, hoping to make her aware that she was there. He leaned further to the right and waved a second time. But when the boats were about 150 yards apart, Miss Thriller made a sharp right-hand turn right across the front of Zipper, and that resulted in the crash. Harold Yarns turned his boat as hard as he could to the left, hoping to slip behind Miss Thriller as she passed in front of him. He cut the engines to his boat, hoping to slow down so he wouldn't reach them. But by that time, the die had been cast, and Zipper plowed into the very stern of Miss Thriller. And that collision resulted in her sinking.
You do a masterful job, and we talked a little bit earlier in this conversation about the importance of identifying and figuring out who the victims of this crash were, who was on the boat. You also do a masterful job, I think, about bringing us to that moment and that sort of chaos and confusion and what's happening in the water. What was it like to recreate that journalistically to tell that story?
Well, in order to get to the details, I had to search through and read court transcripts and newspaper articles. Other records from the boat inspector, in order to be able to assemble all the pieces that went into how that accident happened. That meant even placing the passengers of both boats in their seats, because where they were sitting made a difference to what the outcome of the accident was. Miss Thriller, being heavy, because she had these twin aircraft engines in it, and a small part of the stern was removed by the collision, she flipped upright, shooting her twin beams now, shooting a pair of beams high into the sky, but she flipped upright so fast as to wash her passengers without, who had no idea this accident was going to happen, into the lake, and, you know, in their street clothes and wet, they weren't going to be able to survive very long in the dark. Harold Yarns, the pilot of Zipper, who and his passengers anticipated the accident, but they were still shocked by the sound and the flashing of darkness over it because their lights went out. And Yarns kept his passengers quiet until all of them were taken off by two rescue boats. And when the last rescue boat came to find him and Zipper, he was in the water at the back of the boat trying to kick it toward shore. Mm-hmm. Because of the rivalry, there were arrests and there were court cases. One man was sentenced to prison because there was the assumption that the rivalry played a part in the accident, but that doesn't really appear to be the case.
Why did so many people die? What could have prevented not only the accident, but after the accident, so many deaths?
Well, yes, you already alluded to some of the things that resulted from this accident. What would have prevented so many deaths were if the passengers aboard Miss Thriller had life jackets. So so they could have stayed afloat. In the middle of the lake, in the middle of the dark, with no boat around, they simply couldn't stay afloat until rescue arrived. After the accident occurred, the State Conservation Board passed new boating regulations that required that all boats have a personal flotation device for every person aboard the boat. They required a fire extinguisher on every boat. They required built-in flotation in every boat so that even full of water, it would and a complete complement of passengers and crew, they would stay afloat. And for the first time, too, they required navigational lights, the red and green lights that are so familiar to boaters now, at the bow of the boat and the white light at the end of the boat, so that other boaters on the water would know that the location and the direction that other boats were heading in the night. All these safety regulations that we all take for granted around were all as a result of this accident and those 9 deaths. Mm.
Tell me a little bit about the importance of, and you spent decades as an Argus leader, photographer, in journalism, the importance of telling those local stories. I mean, one of the things that strikes me about this book is that it's a story of a lake in Iowa, which also has, you know, much broader implications, an incredibly human story. It's the story of us in a lot of ways. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Well, I think that when I started the story, I thought that the story was going to be about the sinking of a boat. It was only when I began to recognize who the passengers were, who the players were, who the boat owners were, who the people in the community were, that I recognized the only way to tell this story was to talk about how this accident, the rivalry to begin with, and then later the accident, affected so many people to the lakes today. And, you know, part of that effect is the fact that of the more than 24 papers that wrote about stories and reported the list of names of the dead, none of them got them correct. No correct list was ever published. And as people like myself have gone back to write about that accident, because of its significance to Iowa boating, and have gleaned the names of the people involved from those original sources, have disappointed and reopened wounds in the descendants who knew that the names were not spelled correctly.
Tell me about the book signing at Zambros. When can people come pick up a copy of the book and meet the author?
You know, I'm really excited that I'm going to be able to come to Sioux Falls and sign books at Zambros. You know, I lived and worked there in Sioux Falls as a news photographer for the newspaper, and you know that. And I enjoyed Sioux Falls as my home. And although the book has been very, very popular here in the lakes, it's going to be fun to see old friends and associates who share an interest in Okoboji, because an awful lot of South Dakotans go to Okoboji for recreation. And I note that there's a great appreciation for all of our history in Southeast South Dakota. So it will be fun. It will be fun to talk about the book. It will be fun to talk with old friends and share stories. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great event. I'm hoping people come down just to say hello.
That's right. And let's close with one of the interesting stories that I find in the book, and that's that whenever there's a tragedy, there are always people who escaped the tragedy, and there are people who had tickets to the ride that night and decided not to go. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that's just one of the interesting things about the story. There were people, because the boat was so popular and people were standing on the dock waiting to load, there were people that chose not to ride because the front seats were filled. There was a couple in the middle of the boat that got out. Some say because her husband wanted to wait till the next ride and ride in the front seat, and some say because she became afraid of riding the boat at all. There were perhaps a half a dozen people that had that fate just turned slightly differently would have put them aboard the boat that didn't return. And there was one, the youngest victim of the accident was a friend of Jap Alexander, who was the co-pilot of the two-man crew that was required to man Miss Viller. And because they were friends, he often got to ride in the boat in empty seats for free. And on this night, just as the boat was leaving shore, Neil Galino jumped into one of those seats. And what a sad outcome that he would die from that. And the pain in the family after his death. He was the only boy that they had. He had two sisters. The pain led to a divorce in that family. How very sad.
The book is called The Death Boat, and Lloyd B. Cunningham is the author. Lloyd, thank you so much. It's nice to talk to you again, and congratulations on this book.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed writing the book. It took much longer than I ever would have expected. I'm proud of the book, and I'm glad that people enjoy it.
You can see Lloyd Cunningham and get a copy of The Death Boat this Saturday, July 27th at Zambrose Variety. That's in downtown Sioux Falls. The event is from 2 to 4 p.m.